Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here in Lugano. Reporting from this meeting, my name is Peter Borchmann. I'm the scientific secretary of the German Hodgkin Lymphoma Study Group, and I will present data on the discrimination of an early unfavorable risk group that has a significant impact on treatment outcome in early stage Hodgkin lymphoma. There's three different or even more different definitions of what early stage Hodgkin lymphoma actually means. We have our own classification system on the left side of this slide, the German Hodgkin Lymphoma Study Group classification system, discriminates between large mediastinal mass, ESR above 50 or more than 30, if B symptoms are present, more than three nodal areas involved, or more than one, more or equal to one extranodal lesion. So if one of these risk factors is present, then patients wouldn't be early favorable risk group patients any longer. They would be assigned to the early unfavorable risk group. These risk factors differ a little bit, for example, with the URTC. Here, we also have a large mediastinal mass as a risk factor, but it's a bit larger. With a ratio of 0.35, it's more than a third in our system. The ESR is the same, but they use more equal to four nodal areas involved, and they have H as a disease-independent factor within their classification system. So patients, for example, being older than 50 years, they are assigned to the early unfavorable risk group independent of their tumor status. Again, the NCCN classification system is very different. They have the bulky disease definition, which doesn't exist, as a risk factor with more than 10 centimeters. They have a ESR independent of B symptoms, and then they have the B symptoms separately. So this is slightly different from the staging systems used in Europe. And the question is whether or not these different classification systems discriminate in between early favorable patients and early unfavorable patients, or if these patients exist at all nowadays since we have very active first-line treatment regimens. The treatment today still is guided by these classification systems, but the systems vary, as I have shown before, between the study groups. And if we really need this staging or classification risk factor systems, we don't know. So we wanted to compare the different systems from us, from the RTC, and from the NCCN. And we wanted to have a closer look which of the risk factors within these classification systems are significant for the outcome of our patients in the modern treatment era. You have to know that these systems all come from a time when early-stage Hodgkin lymphoma was treated with radiotherapy only, and results with combined modality treatment today are much better. So it might well be that these systems are not valid any longer. We had the chance to have a closer look at this very important questions within our HD10 and 11 trials, which HD10 was for early favorable patients, HD11 for early unfavorable. But in both studies, we had a common treatment arm with four cycles of ABVD, followed either by 30 or 20 gray involved field radiotherapy. So we have all the different patients, if early favorable or unfavorable, treated the same way with combined modality treatment. There were more than 1,000 patients in these trials, and 1,173 were qualified for this analysis, 483 in the HD10 trial, and 624 in the HD11 trial. So it's a large number of patients in which we could investigate this clinically important question. The age was, as expected, the median age rather low. We're dealing with young patients. At 33 years, the majority, slight majority, being men, and obviously half of the patients having received 30 gray and the other half 20 gray involved radiotherapy. The median observation time was long, with 18 months for progression-free survival and more than 90 months for overall survival. Within this observation period, 8% of all patients, which is 90 patients, had failure with the primary endpoint progression-free survival. So they relapsed from the disease. And 3% of these patients actually died. The question is the discrimination between early favorable and unfavorable patients reasonable? Is it still valid in the modern treatment era of combined modality treatment with respect to PFS and overall survival? So looking at the German Hodgkin Lymphoma Study Group definition, you see, although all these patients had been treated the same way, in yellow, the upper curve, there is a progression-free survival at 5 years of 95.8% as compared to 86.4% with the early unfavorable group. So there's a difference of more than 9% in progression-free survival. So even in the era of combined modality treatment, this risk factors staging system still discriminates in between a favorable and a more unfavorable group, and the difference is meaningful with more than 9%. The same is true, actually, for the other staging system. Here you see the ERTC definition, and you see the difference might be slightly less pronounced, 6.7%, but still there is this difference. You can see it easily. And the same is true for the NCCN definition, where the difference is 8.6%. So overall, all the three different systems discriminate in between favorable and unfavorable risk patients. So what's the sensitivity and specificity of these different systems? In other words, how many patients with an event had been classified as unfavorable? And if you're looking at the sensitivity, you see the sensitivity is high in all systems, 84%, 79%, 83%. So it's a high sensitivity. So most patients who had a failure, had a relapse, were classified as unfavorable. On the other hand, the specificity is really poor, which means, in other words, and this is true for all systems, that many, many patients had been classified as unfavorable, although they had no event. So that's about 50% of all patients. But to be on the safer side, you have to take those into account. We then did an univariate analysis of the risk factors, because obviously we are using different risk factors, and it might well be that some of them are useful and others are not. So we took the change to investigate these questions. We added the most factors from the three staging systems and other candidate risk factors, such as stage 2 or 1, the presence of bulky disease of more than 5 centimeters in diameter, male gender, and other factors from the International Prognostic Score. And we found in the end that models of high sensitivity, so not missing relapsing patients, include risk factors indicating either large tumor burden, which I think is self-explaining, so a large mediastinal mass, or more than 3 or 4 lymph node areas involved. Those are highly indicative of having higher risk for relapse. And on the other hand, the high tumor activity, the erythrocyte sedimentation rate, also indicates this higher risk of relapsing for early stage patients. Within our definition, in a multivariate logistic regression model, only the large mediastinal mass and the 3 or more nodal areas remained significant. So these factors indicate a large tumor burden. And they have slightly different odds ratios, but actually that is not that important. It is important that these risk factors indicating a large tumor mass, they are predictive of a somewhat poorer prognosis. Within the URTC definition, it's the same. You can see here it's large mediastinal mass, mass with a high odds ratio and also more or equal to 4 nodal areas, are exactly the same result. It's very important on this slide, though, that H, so a factor derived from the patient and not from the tumor, actually does not play a role at all, which is very important. Because otherwise, you would say a patient with stage 1A without risk factors, but 55 years of age, would have to treat it unfavorable. So this patient would need more chemotherapy, more radiotherapy, although he is older and would not really better tolerate more treatment. So you can forget about this risk factor in early stage disease. It's an important finding, therefore. And actually, the same is true for the American, the NCCN system, where you also can see that the number of nodal areas involved and the presence or absence of bulky disease, so parameters for tumor burden, are the most important prognostic factors. So are these factors also important for overall survival? Because this is maybe an even more important endpoint in early stage disease than progression-free survival. And we had a closer look to these questions, and in the univariate analysis, there was a similar risk factors profile involving tumor size, ESR involved areas, and extranodal involvement, and then, of course, because it's overall survival, age. So we have many patients in this trial being like 75 years of age, and we don't discriminate in between dying of Hodgkin lymphoma or of any other reasons. So having a closer look at the different staging systems and the overall survival, you see the difference is not as large, obviously, as with the PFS, but it still exists, and the hazard ratio does not include the one, so it's highly significant also. This is true for the German classification system, it's true for the ERTC definition, and it's also true for the NCCN definition. So the better PFS, or the PFS difference, translates into an overall survival difference in this cohort. To summarize, this is the first and large analysis evaluating the impact of risk groups and risk factors on outcome in the modern combined modality treatment area without a treatment bias, because all patients had been treated exactly the same way. And all three different staging definitions selected a high risk group out of the early stage patients with a significant impact both on PFS and overall survival. They all have a high sensitivity, but a poor specificity. And models of high sensitivity include risk factors like a large tumor burden, a large mediastinal mass, or a bulky disease, or numbers of lymph nodes involved, or a high tumor activity as indicated by the ESR. To conclude, improvement of these different systems might only be achieved by detection of more and highly specific risk factors. We don't have these risk factors yet. We are trying to adapt treatment and to reduce the burden of treatment by introducing response-adapted treatment, for example, by PET. But this is completely different from the baseline staging definitions, where you don't have a response to treatment, you don't know what's going on after you have initiated treatment. So you have to decide whether you go for early unfavorable or favorable. And in this situation, there's so far no other risk factor that would be better than those indicating tumor burden, and those are important. And they are not only important for the progression-free survival, but also for the overall survival. And so we conclude that it's still reasonable, still today, to discriminate in between unfavorable and favorable risk groups in early-stage Hodgkin lymphoma in the modern combined modality treatment era. I'd like to thank to Helen Gergen, our statistician who did all this work on these data, and Beate Klim, who is a co-author for this poster. Thank you very much.